Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 69 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of ComicBook.com. I'm your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today is the crew. I got Matt Aguilar.
What up?
And Janelle Wheeler.
Hello.
And today we are going to be running down a good mix of news and a little bit of deep diving. We got to talk about Marvel's big WandaVision trailer. We're going to do a real quick run through the Emmys just to recap the points that we, you know, actually care about. We got some updates on the Microsoft Xbox and some of the moves that Microsoft is making after we were kind of slamming them on a certain front. They made some big moves that we got to talk about. And we're going to check in with some of our favorite TV shows that are going on right now, including The Boys, Lovecraft Country, The Return of Archer, and Matt is psyched because he has a big wrestling and gaming crossover moment to share. So here's a review for you today of WWE 2K Battlegrounds. All right, so we got a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it, so let's start at the top and talk about Marvel's WandaVision trailer. So the biggest thing out of the Emmys for us geeks and everybody kind of related to the brand of the show was, of course, the debut of the WandaVision trailer, which is, I mean, let's be honest, this is like the first big piece of Marvel marketing that we've had since Black Widow trailers dropped of the year.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see something angelic, like, you know, big and Marvel-y kind of coming at us. Finally, it's been a long drought. I mean, if Marvel was a drug, yeah, we had to go cold turkey on it this year, and it's been painful. So it was good to see the WandaVision trailer, and man, did it not disappoint. The trailer basically takes the kind of strange premise that will be kind of starting in, which is how is Wanda Maximoff, Elizabeth Olsen, and the Vision, who's dead, back into this kind of retro TV sitcom reality that we find them in and what's going on with that. And of course the trailer did a very good X-Files-y kind of thing by showing you that this reality, there's something much bigger at play here and not all is quite what it seems, and can maybe even be a little bit twisted and scary in some kind of ways. That scene at the dinner table with the parents asking about the children and slapping the table, like, and getting kind of like stuck on repeat like that.
Yeah.
Maybe the situation isn't so stable. And it was good. It was intriguing. I think, in my opinion, it was good for mainstream people to kind of get a sense of, like, because this was the show. It didn't fool me and it didn't fool us, like, on this show, like me and Matt, because we've been talking about this since they kind of pitched the premise. They weren't fooling us. We were like, oh, we see where you're going with this, that this was going to be a big deal. But, it feels like it is a big deal in the chapter of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And for, like, normal people, it's good because, like I said, it just looks intriguing and kind of scary and kind of twisted. And for Marvel fans, it's great because it touched on so many different little notes of famous stories that we know from the comics, from classic Scarlet Witch and Vision stories to the more modern ones like House of M and Tom King's Vision solo series, and that it's fun for all people. And I was very happy with that, and I like everything I see in this. And there's so much that's kind of cleverly revealed in this trailer amidst all the kind of, like I said, sitcom and costume Easter eggs that are just kind of distracting you. There's a lot of good stuff in here that we'll unpack. So I was a big fan of this, and this was always my top personal Marvel Disney Plus show since the beginning, and I'm sticking with that.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
We can end on a good note.
I was very excited. I'm just so excited about how it's going to tie in with Doctor Strange. I know that's selfish of me because I love Doctor Strange so much, but it seems so cool. And now I'm so excited to read House of M now.
Oh, I was going to ask if you'd start yet because I
haven't started because I was reading Three Jokers.
But this is perfect. Oh, I'm sorry. But this is perfect time for you. This is perfect time though because like that is, I feel like once you read that, you will probably even appreciate all the little subtle hints, even in this trailer alone.
Right. I caught some of them in the like Easter eggs, like the bottle. Was it wine or liquor or something that they're pouring with the House of M?
There's the wine. There's the picture. There's the one I just love is the picture of the pig in the background.
Oh my gosh.
Which is great. And oh, Sword. Who else is freaking stoked for Sword? I am so excited for that. Also, Monica Rambeau. Holy cow.
Yeah,
I
mean, we got to get into all that. So, yeah. I mean, Matt just shouted a bunch of things like he had a Marvel seizure or something.
I feel like every Marvel fan's doing that.
Yeah. So, the big thing, one of the big reveals was, like I said, I hinted at in the trailer, we get a look at what is outside this literal and figurative bubble that Wanda has created of reality warping, what have you. As Monica Rambeau gets kind of catapulted out of it and back into the real world. The way she's dressed, presumably she was trying to get in there and infiltrate, and somehow Wanda, you know, either figures her out or she can't get in and she gets kind of knocked out. And this confirms set photos that we saw that she would be a Sword agent, Monica Rambeau, and that she's not going to be alone. There's also going to be, and that Sword is basically like a new version of S.H.I.E.L.D. or offshoot that collects people who were specialists through the Infinity Saga. So there's like, or were involved in it in some way. So you have Monica Rambeau, who has her own powers. Kat Dennings is confirmed through kind of Marvel tie-in literature during Endgame, was confirmed that she would be kind of recruited as a expert or a director of S.W.O.R.D. Jimmy Woo's character, who from Ant-Man, who was an FBI agent, he was seen in set photos with Monica Rambeau's actress on set. And so he's also probably going to have been recruited. So yeah, they're this new offshoot using kind of this cool collection of people who were involved in the kind of early phases of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it looks like one of their kind of things they'll be dealing with is this phenomenon that Scarlet Witch is creating. And you can only imagine what I love about this. And my speculation is I don't think the series actually ends on a happy ending necessarily. I feel like Wanda might go completely berserk with her powers and it becomes like a much bigger problem. And it goes from Sword level to like Doctor Strange level. But yeah, I'm kind of cool. It's going to be kind of cool to see Sword in this, in their whole thing. And I'm really curious to see if it ties back to that Far From Home post-credit scene with Nick Fury in space.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I agree with Janelle. Like, and one of the coolest things about right now, anyway, like this next era of the MCU, like I was excited for WandaVision. Like when that first round of shows got announced, I was excited for WandaVision and I was excited for Doctor Strange. And the main reason why was because of Scarlet Witch's involvement, just because it opens so many doors. There's so many things you can do with her as a character. And we've seen so many cool storylines in the books kind of catapulting off of her, sometimes being unstable, sometimes being whatever. And like that's why, and they did that. They played on that in this trailer, which I thought was really cool. So yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah, and then one thing you're talking about playing on things that open doors. Another one that's in the trailer was, of course, Catherine Hahn's character, and I love Catherine Hahn.
She's so good.
Yeah, and we didn't know who she was going to be playing, but you know, if you watch with subtitles on, basically it says her character's name is Agnes, which seems almost certainly like a cover for or a version of Agatha.
How did you know to do that? That's brilliant.
I don't. I just read the internet and people figure this stuff out.
Yeah. I mean, I was reading the internet, but I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
deep divers.
Yeah. Wow. I do not think of these things.
That is so cool.
Doing people anagrams and stuff, like
geekier and smarter than me figure this stuff out. I just report it. So her name is probably going to be, she's probably the MCU version of Agatha Harkins, who is, of course, this very old witch in Marvel lore. And she became Scarlet Witch's mentor in the ways of using kind of how to use her quote unquote hex powers as like magic, full fledged magical powers, and helped her kind of learn to do things like the reality warping and stuff like that. But eventually Wanda went crazy and killed her. So not so great for her. She's come back like everybody else in Marvel, but like, yeah, that's the main thrust of
and
her
created
story.
Fake children and
yeah.
all kinds
and
of
she kind
stuff.
Of is connected to Wanda and Vision both. Like she's the narrator of Vision's solo series as like this disembodied spirit kind of like watching him and all this. So there's all these little Easter eggs from that, like in that scene where he's floating around the neighborhood and kind of sees her in a car. So there's questions about how they're going to play that, but it seems like that's going to be, and this seems like geared towards just evolving Wanda, because she's had this weird thing where back in like phase two, they didn't think people were ready for like full magic. So they said she was basically like a psychic because they couldn't say mutants and
yeah.
like,
it was confusing.
They were just like scepter people or whatever. And then it's kind of gradually transformed a little bit more, because in Avengers 2, it was this weird kind of thing where it was psychic and telekinesis and stuff, but now they want her to do the full-on like Scarlet Witch, because now we're playing in a multiverse and with all kinds of stuff, and it's like,
and now we have all the rights.
Yeah, we have all the rights. So yeah, let's just go full-fledged with this thing, and yeah, now we're going full hex powers, magic, you know, the reality warping, all that stuff. So congratulations for Elizabeth Olsen. I was very happy for her when she was cast. I'm very happy for her now.
And she's doing a great job, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's a great actress. I was like, really a fan of hers. I was surprised she actually joined the MCU, because she was such
so
a...
So was I, yeah.
Well, it's so funny that, like, when she did that whole, you know, that first interview circuit, and was kind of like, you know, one of the things that, like, Kevin Feige told me is, like, you don't have to wear the suit. You don't have to wear the comic Scarlet Witch suit. And then it's nice to see, like, in this, we get, like, those playful, ridiculous, like, bare-bones versions of both costumes. And
so
it's like a wink and a nod on both levels, right? Because like the only reason she took the part was like she was guaranteed she would not have to like dress like that, and it's, you know, it's great. So yeah,
I feel like if you fall in love with that character, you want to.
Yeah, she's been in it so long now that she actually like really enjoys all this, so I'm sure like by now it's her choice. She's like, yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah. They love that. Let's just put it on. All right, so that's WandaVision. You can check that out and our whole breakdowns on comicbook.com. Marvel. We're going to move over to the Emmys, and like I said, this was like the lowest rated one. I mean, granted, TV has been limited this year, like everything else. Or this was for like the last year, though, so yeah, so it didn't really matter. But nobody's really kind of tuning in this year. Nobody really cared this year.
I think it's just one of those things of like, I don't know.
Watching Hollywood.
Right, yeah.
I feel like it was just them being like a group of friends, and like you could tell who were the cool kids and who were the nerds and who were the outcasts and like who were the jocks, and it just kind of felt weird. And
I mean, you have a really kind of Breakfast Club breakdown of Hollywood. I think Hollywood's a lot weirder than that.
Yeah, like, you're right.
Touché. I don't know if there's jocks and nerds and
The stoners and
I don't know if you took a hard look at some of those.
I didn't. I will say
tables.
This. Yeah, I don't know if that's the recaps. Yeah, I didn't watch the whole thing. I tried to. I turned it on. Literally, I caught Zendaya's moment. But beyond that, I was like, this is just awkward for me. So I turned it off. And then this morning, I took time. It took about an hour to just watch the best moments of. That was enjoyable. It was
You grossly overprepared for what we're about to do. So we're not doing any of that. Like, I don't care about the Emmys. I watched hardly any of it. So all I'm going to talk about are the things, like I said, that are relevant to us. And that's basically just numbers. Watchmen won big in 11 categories. It won some of the big top prizes, including Best Actress for Regina King and Best Actress Drama for Regina King, Best Supporting Actor Drama for Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, and Outstanding Limited Series Drama. Those are both well deserved. I mean, it won a bunch of production awards too, from sights to sounds and music and all that stuff. That episode alone with just Regina King and Abdul-Mateen as the whole kind of how their relationship plays out in Dr. Manhattan Time. I think it's called like Chicken or the Egg or something like that. That was one of the best episodes of TV that I've seen, and the best single depiction, like, sorry, Alan Moore, but the best depiction of how Dr. Manhattan perceived life, time, love, and all that stuff Watchmen ever did.
Spit fire.
Yeah, but I mean, it helped the audience understand it too, especially if you didn't have
background. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that's, you know how the Watchmen fan base can be.
Yeah, well, I don't care. I don't care. I mean, as somebody who's been on Damon Lindelof for not being able to pull down his big ideas sometimes, who's been on him for 10 years like that, and that dude, like, knows me. I know him, like, and...
He killed it here, man.
He killed it. Like, I mean, he did a better job. He out-Watchmen Watchmen in some ways, and he corrected American history in the process. Alan Moore didn't do half of that ish, so you know what? You can send this podcast to him and let me know where he wants to meet in the field for, like, the knife fight or whatever he
does. Hey, Rich, I think we have a podcast breakout.
Yeah.
So, this Watchmen was, I mean, fantastic. And it's so fantastic that I'm willing to just let it lie. I mean, as much as I want, like, another anthology of it, like, I mean, I don't know if they'll ever do it better or catch lightning in the bottle again. So,
yeah.
Congratulations for Watchmen. This was well-deserved. And I mean, it just shows HBO and other places, like, yeah, you can take this comic book material and do some stuff with it that can actually really matter. So, I mean, I hope it sets a precedent. Yeah. And it also helps the comic book community maybe calm down a bit. Like, somebody took something beloved of yours. They didn't ruin it. They made it really good. And, like I said, it corrected history in the process. So, like, you know, let's
think about it. And encouraged wearing masks.
There you go. Yeah, so double. I think it's because Watchmen Forever, even after Snyder's, which I liked Snyder's Watchmen, but, like, even after that, people were still like, you know, I don't know, it's unfilmable. You know, that whole, like, thing of an unfilmable thing, I don't think that exists anymore. I think it's really just you have to kind of wait for the right take, the right team, the right whatever. Like, all the things have to fit. So it's incredibly difficult, and most people get it wrong. But I think that now with, like, Lord of the Rings and, like, all these things that have happened now and all these supposed the sacred cows, I think that's done. I think pretty much anything can be done. It's just all the right circumstances have to fit. Watchmen kind of goes to that.
Agreed. As Janelle mentioned, Zendaya won big for Euphoria and becoming the youngest and second black actress to win.
It was best, so cute.
Best actress lead actress drama and youngest at 24. So she's getting her chips on that way to that EGOT. All right. Good for her. Ozark. I mean, that girl's a machine, man. She doesn't need anything.
She's amazing.
Zendaya doesn't need anything I have to say.
She looked flawless.
Yeah.
She's intelligent.
She's just killing
poised.
It. Yes. We love Zendaya.
Huge fan.
She ain't paying us. Let's keep moving. All right. Ozark's Julia Garner won for Best Supporting Actress, and I love Ozark.
Good.
And she's also so great in that show, so she decided. And otherwise, it was basically like Schitt's Creek and Succession just swept up the rest.
Boy, Schitt's Creek, man.
So wholesome, though.
Yeah.
Really awesome to see.
Yeah, and that was the Emmys, the parts that we cared about. Mm-hmm. All right, real quick, coming in before the break, Matt's going to, we're going to do, we're at a weird timestamp here. So,
do you want a quick run through?
Yeah, no, let's just take a break now. We'll take an early break, pay some bills, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of this stuff because I want to give you time.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, we're back. So, Matt, we're going to go through the latest on the Microsoft Xbox updates. Like I said, the big thing, of course, is that Xbox Series X or Xbox Series S pre-orders are now live. Matt's going to let us know how that's going compared to PlayStation. And we were just complaining that the Xbox's big loss was that it didn't have enough game exclusives. Well, I think Microsoft has heard the call from gamers and decided to do something about it. So let's talk about those things.
Yeah. The big news, pre-orders are actually live right now as you're hearing this, and they were live yesterday as well. It has gone better. It is still a cluster out there. Like, trying to find one is immensely hard. Like, GameStop is doing queues. And who knows how long those will last. Some aren't live yet, but most of the big ones have gone live, and it's still like crashing websites. So regardless of what console you want, it's going to be kind of a pain to get one, to pre-order one. That said, both companies have said like they'll have more at launch day. So, you know, hopefully it won't be so drastic as ones we've seen in the past. So hopefully you can get a hold of one, but it is smoother. Like, it was nice to like know when it was happening, what stores it was happening before it actually happened. It was nice. So Sony did, since we last talked, of course, Sony did apologize for that and said more pre-orders are coming and that hopefully more will be at launch. So either case though, be on the lookout, follow some people on Twitter if you want kind of the up-to-date, like, hey, this link is live now. That's honestly your best shot at getting one, because literally in like 15 seconds, they're gone.
Wow.
Regardless of console, it doesn't matter. So that's the big thing for that. The other big news, of course, was that Microsoft made a deal and essentially bought the parent company of Bethesda. So
that's ZeniMax. Insane.
Yeah, and Bethesda,
that's crazy,
of course, has numerous IP. I mean, the biggest one, of course, I don't know if you'd say the biggest one. They're kind of neck and neck. Fallout and Elder Scrolls are right there. Dishonored, though, of course, Doom. All
Could
of
you
those
imagine
fall.
Those not being for the PS5? Like,
yes, but
oh,
most of them, because like this makes a lot of sense. Well, one, okay, so first,
I mean,
on
it
the deal
definitely
basis.
Means Xbox going for that InvoSil. Trying to be that InvoSil console.
7.5 billion
for the apocalypse.
By the way, 7.5 billion.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of money. Now, granted, it's not a one IP studio, so it makes sense. Like, you're getting several big IPs. It does kind of solve one of the biggest issues we've had with the Xbox lineup, is that they don't have a lot of games that like you have to go there for. Now, this also makes sense because, one, Microsoft has been a partner of this company for a long time, so that they kind of go neck and neck. Also, Bethesda's roots are in the PC. Like, all these, their initial deal, like bringing Morrowind over and all these things, they were a PC-first company for the longest time.
Right.
And then they've had console success over the last, like, you know, 6 to 7 years. But they started out as a PC company. So it makes sense that, like, Microsoft, with their whole, we want you to play anywhere, we want you to be on a PC if you want, or an Xbox, it makes total sense. The thing to note is that currently there are two PS exclusives being worked on at Bethesda. Microsoft is going to honor those. So Deathloop, and then I'm blanking on the other one. But both of those will be honored. So they're still going to release those as PlayStation exclusives. In the future, they said that whether it's going to be a multi-platform game will be a case-by-case basis.
That's what I was about to ask you. They still could release things to the PS5 if they wanted to.
Ones. Yeah, like, right. I feel like if this
Fallout
comes down to Bethesda saying, hey, we need to make this amount of money with
right
this guy. I feel like those kinds of games, maybe
they need
you
to get their money back after spending
also,
that much.
I mean, I think a lot of this also, that price has to do, when I was reading, I was like, I bet they're paying multimedia prices. Like, Bethesda started getting that Fallout series mm-hmm in there. and all that stuff. So these are not just video game IPs anymore. Like,
I would be very curious
to see multimedia IPs. So you want that Fallout to circulate to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a series on the way.
Oh, because the Amazon series does better if anybody can get Fallout.
Exactly.
Get into that world. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like, stuff like Doom, I think, is an exclusive no-brainer. That just fits with their audience or multiplayer focus. But yeah, this is a huge deal. This is really, now it doesn't affect the current lineup. So like, I mean, Bethesda has been working on stuff for the longest time. So whether or not like the next Elder Scrolls comes only to Xbox or not will remain to be seen. That's been in production for a while. Same with some of their other games. But it is huge. I mean, this is an Insomniac level, like, hey, bring you into the fold. Your games are money for us. This makes all the sense in the world. I think this is great for Xbox gamers. The other big stuff was that Game Pass hit 15 million subscribers, which is huge. That's a great number.
Yeah.
And that kind of feeds into what Microsoft's been wanting their message to be of, like, we just want you in the ecosystem. Doesn't matter where you play, what you play on. We just want that subscription money. 15 right. million is great. Next gen accessories. The biggest thing from that was that microcontrollers will work on your new system. So
that's great.
You've got, you know, an Xbox One controller laying around and you don't want to shell out the typically $70 to $80
right.
to get a new one. That's great.
That's really smart.
And the console comes with one anyway. So if you want that second controller, that's a nice option. That's most of the gaming news as of right now. I mean, what do you feel about that adding to the lineup? I mean, does that make you want to jump into an Xbox now?
Like, not right at the moment, but I am now highly considering between the controller, which I think I like the way the controller looks and the way it is held better than the PS5. But the Bethesda depends on the exclusivity, because if certain titles I can't get on the PS5, there's a very good chance I would jump in and actually get an Xbox. I've never owned an Xbox in my life.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Okay. Nintendo and PS4 and PlayStation, PC gamer, and this might get me there.
Kofi?
PS5 all the way.
I tend to ping pong every couple of years. And it really just comes down, depends on like who has the best games. That's what I care about.
Right. That's a good way to do it.
I was Xbox all through the 2000s, and now I'm just like older. I want to play more kind of exclusive private experience games, things like that. So I'm PS5.
So it's a very interesting landscape there, but good on Microsoft. Good on that. I think they made a compelling argument to like get their console finally, and they've been lacking. So that's gaming.
All right. So moving right along, let's do our TV check-in. Let's talk about The Boys. The Boys' latest ep that we just kind of saw had some things I really didn't need to see in it.
Nailed it.
Yeah. But, yeah. The finale, let's just start from the ending. Like, yeah, nailed it. Right. Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah, I didn't need to see a Homelander Stormfront sex scenes. And I don't know if I'm just getting older or what, but, you know. The more and more I see sex scenes these days, I'm like, I didn't really need to see that.
It's awkward,
The Game of Thrones burned you out.
I definitely did. I mean, we've had this conversation, and it wasn't unpopular when I had it last time, but like when I tell you, when you've seen celebrities naked so many times, True Blood did this.
Oh, True Blood's
when you see when you see them naked so many times, you feel like you're dating and like you've gotten old and you're like, I just want to stop seeing this right now. Like, yes, I've seen this. Put on clothes. Like, so basically, like, yeah, I didn't need to see that, but I mean, The Boys specializes in things that are uncomfortable for me to see too.
Can we talk about the spoilers. Hi, guys.
These are all spoilers. I mean, the recaps were spoilers.
Doing spoilers. I'm so sorry. I forget sometimes. Can we talk about the face rip?
Yeah.
That was one of the coolest, and I'm a Walking Dead fan. That was one of the coolest special effects. Like, oh my gosh. Oh. I loved it so much. I hated it, but I loved
Kimiko?
It. Kimiko? Yes, Kimiko literally ripping off
that guy's face. Yeah, I didn't see that. I thought she was going to like smash his head or something. I didn't see an entire face rip coming
out.
That
was amazing. And then made his friends watch.
Yeah, that was brutal. Wild. But like, jeez. So, like, brutal in, like, the best, most uncomfortable way. I was like, oh, my God.
I know
God,
you guys don't like the deep as well, but I am really liking his storyline. I think it's funny. I know, but I know, like, the storyline is kind of like a snooze, but I'm actually, I don't know why, I dig it. I like that storyline.
I, like I said before,
I loved his scene with Maeve. Like, that was great. Yeah.
I feel like that is one of the ones that takes the longest to warm up, but right. I did like it by the end. It just took forever to, like, give you those moments. But, yeah like, there are some great moments. Yeah, like, it's a slow burn, man. That thing is
I think
long.
It's because I watched so many, like, behind-the-scenes Scientology reality shows, like, like Leah Remini and all that. Like, I just think it's really interesting that they're choosing to highlight that and kind of mock it. I just think it's, I don't know.
Yeah. And it's really, though, when Hollywood. This stuff starts happening, like where he starts interacting with the other, with the Seven or other people, like that's mm-hmm. when it gets interesting. Because right. otherwise, it's just him dealing with
the man. What is
Gil
he doing?
Scene aside, Gil scene, that was great. Right. The Gil scene was amazing. But, like, aside from that, it's just him dealing with his problems.
Like, dude, him and Maeve are the best because she doesn't like at all care about him or, like, tell him.
So okay.
You think of a POS? Yes.
Like, oh, he wasn't even surprised.
Yeah.
That's
so, and I continue to hate Stormfront and love. Like, I hate her because I love her because I hate her. Like, she's fantastic this season. So.
Yeah. She's, like, a really great antagonist. And just, like, she's the only other person, you know, I was always worried about, like, Homelander because, like, every time he's on screen, you get, like, real nervous. You don't know what's going to happen or whatever. But, like, she's even better because she just, like, mind F's people so well.
Yeah.
Like,
everything's
so
in the, even the mom scene.
Yeah.
It's
a total manipulation on her part to just push whatever she like. It's so, it's those, all those little things, right? It's great. So.
Yeah, that was great. And I'm trying to think what else happened in this episode. Is this episode when they took on Black Noir? Was that last
episode? In the house?
Yes.
Yeah, that was this episode, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, because that had me terrified. As soon as I walked outside and saw him, like, creeping on that house, oh my God. Like,
he really is so scary.
Well, I think that's something this season has done way better than the first season. Like, he's barely in the first season.
Right.
And you don't really get, like, most of the times he's in it, it's played for comedy. It's not played for, like, oh, this dude is literally, like,
Terrifying.
It's like Wolverine as a non-talking ninja, which is now even scarier.
And this season, right off the bat, they were like, they set the tone, and then stuff like this happens, and you're like, oh my God, like, dude, this guy's face burn off.
Yeah, and as soon as you, like, know he's after them, you're like, that's not good.
So good.
But, it had good things. Yeah, they did introduce Terror. Like, yeah, that was great. The dog.
Yeah,
I love that. So cute.
And this was, like, a good humanizing. See, I don't need Butcher to be soft, because this episode did a good job of showing the other side of, like, how you can humanize Butcher without making Carl Urban actually, like, do stupid dramatic
break
stuff.
Break down, yeah.
Yeah, just, like, by telling, you know, Huey the story about his little brother and, like, mm-hmm. what, like, you know, how he is. Like,
I love that scene. Yeah. That scene is so
his
good.
His aunt is so good. There's, like, a drug dealer. Like, yeah.
So, yeah. It's great.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Like, yeah. And just, yeah, and this was also a good, better episode. I like Mother's Milk more and more in the season. Like, where he's just listening. He's like, Butcher's so nice to me. And he's like, tell me everything.
Yeah, tell me everything.
Yeah.
So. Oh, man. But, yeah. So, yeah, the boys growing on me. This was, like, a great episode. Mm-hmm. I forgot this was all packed into, like, yeah, one episode. It was a lot better than the episode 4 for me. But, yeah, so kind of loving that. All right. Moving right along. Lovecraft Country. I know I'm the only person still watching this. Matt, did you start?
I started it. I did not get to finish it, but I did start it, and it's awesome. It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, so this episode, spoilers, this episode was a pivotal episode kind of this week, which is why I'm talking about it, which was which introduced Jamie Chung's character, who has been kind of teased throughout the series. I also just wrote a close to 2,000-word breakdown called Lovecraft Country, What is Happening on the Show, because it is kind of confusing what is happening on this show at times. So the overall mythology, because individual episodes just pepper in little serialized parts, and then all the horror, the craziness, and all the zaniness that's happening, it can be hard to keep track, but I broke it down for you. But this episode had an excellent kind of backstory episode in the Korean War, where Atticus was in the war and how he met Jamie Chung's character, Jia, and who she was. And if you're a Naruto fan, man, you will never look at Kurama the same way again after this episode. because Lovecraft Country did its own version of the Korean entity, the nine-tailed fox. In this case, it's kind of a succubus that fills men, I mean, with some Japanese tentacle porn style, filling men with, nine tails that come out of her everything, including both her eyes, and suck the souls out of these men and just tear them into bloody.
It's gotta be the eyes. What's it gotta be the eyes?
Oh, that was the final part. Like, the first scene where they reveal it, they don't tell you this. She's just having sex scene with a man, and then all of a sudden this, like, tail comes out of her, like, butt, and, like, then, like, five more come out, and then you're like, what is happening? And one, like, comes out of her mouth, and you're like, okay, this is really gross. And you're like, this can't get any weirder. And then two more come out of her eyes to complete the picture and just, like, shoot into his eyes, and, like, she just, like, sucks his soul out and rips him apart. So basically, you figure out that Amy Chung's character was a girl whose mother was, she was born out of wedlock, and her mother married a creep who, like, molested her and killed her, and she brought back her body, filling it with the spirit, and the deal was it had to consume 100 men to have her daughter become human again. So she's coming down the 100th person. It turns out to be Atticus, and she instead kind of falls in love with him, even though he executed some of her friends while looking for a spy, and, like, they had this really messed up meeting. And it turns out that she saw the prophecy of what happens in the series, like, when he goes home and starts this whole thing and how it could lead to the apocalypse. And so that was kind of set up the bigger story of Lovecraft Country, that there is this horrible event that's coming and that he is prophesied to kind of die in it. And that was why she keeps making these creepy phone calls to him throughout the series, kind of see him, because she loves him and she's, like, basically a monster who's in love with him and
damn,
trying to do it. So, yeah, man, this show keeps getting crazier. I didn't expect it. I just tried to write a quick, concise, like, here's what's happening on Lovecraft Country. And 3 days later, in 2,000 words, I'm like, I think I got that all right now. Okay.
So, I want to watch that so bad.
Oh, this,
so
this
bad.
Episode was excellent. Of, like, it was almost
the,
like,
whole series.
1950s Asian cinema, like, you know, Kurosawa style, with, like, a weird monster tail in the middle. Yeah, so it was really good. And the show just impresses, because it's, like I said, it's like Watchmen. Like, every episode kind of offers, like, a different flavor of something, and they have these, like, really spectacular episodes that take these deviations into, like, kind of these themes and stuff. And yeah, this is great. Finally, I just want to shout out that he's back, ladies and gentlemen. He came back, phrasing. Yeah, my boy Archer is back for season 11. And this is a big deal. You haven't heard me mention Archer ever on the show, because the last few seasons, I mean, if you've been a fan of the show, you know what we've gone through, like, the last three seasons over 3 or 4 years. They basically put Archer in a coma in, like, what was it, season seven, and he ended up in a coma. And so then seasons 8, 9, and 10 were these different themed seasons, where the 8 was, like, a detective noir world. 9 was kind of Gilligan's Island, an older Danger Island type of theme. And 10 was a space theme, like outer space sci-fi theme. And these were all Archer's coma dreams, quote unquote. But the show really kind of sucked when they did that, because, I get what they were going for. They were trying to just say the characters are so, like, you know, they wanted to do stuff differently, and they were bored. And they said the characters are so familiar now, we can put them in different situations and everybody will still love it. Well, sorry, but that's not true. Everybody doesn't just love Archer just because of the characters. It was the actual premise of a workplace comedy in a spy agency was kind of a big part of why it works so well with this demented kind of bro douchey James Bond guy. So season 11 is finally Archer waking up from his coma. I can't remember if they've agreed this is the final season or if they are extending it. I forget. But he wakes up, and so now it's back to the actual premise of the show. And that's a stage to set to say, yes, Archer works so much better when you put it back in its correct box. Like, when it's back to being a spy agency workplace comedy, it is funny again. And this was like getting back to classic Archer. But better, because the thing about Archer that can take away from it is when he becomes too bro-douchey for you to kind of stand that actual people would ever not shoot this guy in the face. And this season is different because after he comes out of the coma, he's had like that come to Jesus moment, and he kind of realizes like who he wants to be, and he wants to be with Lana and all this stuff. but it's been 3 years and everybody's moved on. Everything has changed. The entire formula has changed. Cyril's now the archer of the agency. Lana got married to this kind of boring guy played by Stephen Tobolowsky. They're the agents now, instead of a bunch of dysfunctional people, they're like a functional, highly successful team, because basically the first episode is him realizing that you take him out of the equation and they're all like better off and happier. The agency's better, the team is better, like everything's better. And so he comes back and it takes him that episode because he's still doing douchey archer, and like everybody's moved on, because this guy's, the message is like the world's moved on, like people are more like, the things he does like are not like as tolerated or looked upon anymore. And so like everybody's kind of like moved up. And so it's funny because he has to try to then become a better person, which is now like another funny premise for where the show goes. And and it has some great guest stars and stuff. Jamie Lee Curtis is in there as a liaison in one. And the second episode is like a kind of a Bloodsport themed episode where it brings back a classic character from season one in a surprise way. So it was great. And it's good to see it getting back to form, Archer. So Archer's now on FX, or FXX, and it's streaming on Hulu and stuff like that. So if you want to check that out, this is the season to check back in. Just forget ever what happened in the comas. Just Archer had a coma, season 7, jump to season 11. Here we are, you know? All right, so check that out. Finally, Matt, you get to combine two of your favorite things in the world, wrestling and gaming talk, into one review of WWE 2K Battle Rat Grounds. Last time you did this, I feel like it was kind of controversial. So,
This one is actually the arcadey, kind of over the top fun fill in of the WWE series. This is not part of the straight up 2K series. This is just like a brand new thing. It's very much reminiscent of like WWE All Stars or some of the older games like No Mercy, things like that were popular on the 64. So this one, there is no straight up 2K. This is the one WWE proper game this year. And it's really fun. It's one of those things where the main issues with it are actually not gameplay related. It's the aesthetic is going to, you're either going to like it or you're not. And it's weird because in the ring, the superstars all have this, like, you know, they're all kind of shrunken down. They all have like these over the top facial features and, you know, all their limbs are bigger and things like that. So it's very cartoony in that respect, but like, they still also try to like make them look like the real life people. And it's not like cel shaded or anything. So it's this weird mix. And like some wrestlers, it works fine. And other wrestlers just like, that doesn't look anything like them. And it really only comes out when you're looking at the portraits. So like when you're playing in the ring, you'll say, oh, that's Sasha Banks. And oh, that's Bayley or whoever. And if you look at them in these portraits that pop up every time you win or lose, it's like, that's when it comes clear that like, I don't know, like it's not quite right. Something's not quite right. Some wrestlers look great, but others, like Kofi Kingston, doesn't really look like Kofi Kingston at all. I was like, is that Ludacris? Like, I didn't know who that was, who that was supposed to be.
Luda.
So
Luda.
Which is great. I love Luda, but it just looked weird. But like the gameplay itself is very much streamlined. You know, it's not all like one button press. You can still strike with square and kick with triangle, but like all the special moves, everything has kind of been streamlined to a point where button mashers can actually come in, play this. They don't have to know a bunch of things and they can have fun and you can actually win some matches. And then if you want to dive into the stuff like jumping off the turnbuckle or going out of the ring and getting weapons like that, you can. Everything has been simplified to like submissions, for instance. In the regular 2K series, submissions are still a pain. They're overly complicated. Here, literally, I've discovered one you can do, and there's one way to do it. It has like a very simple, like double trigger type of thing, and it makes it fun. Like you can pull it off, and it's not complicated. And a lot of the stuff in this game is like that. There's a crowd bar, so like it'll recommend you do certain things to get the crowd hyped. And if you do that, it fills this bar, and that means you can do more reversals and counters. So it ties in the systems a lot it's more eloquent in how it ties it all in. It actually makes you feel like there's a reason to get the crowd hype. Also, there's ridiculous stuff. So, like, you can throw someone into an alligator that's sitting on the outside of the ring. You can command remote control Ram and literally, like, guide them around and, like, knock the person out. There's a helicopter that pops up on one, and you can hop up there and then come storming down to the ground and, like, break the entire ring. And then you can lift the ring post if you have a wrestler who's strong enough to do that and use that as a weapon. Like, there's a lot of really fun stuff. Like, the visuals in the ring are great. Like, the superpowered specials and stuff have, like, all these purple and green and blue, like, energy things that surround them. It's really over the top, and it plays that out. The campaign mode, where you unlock a lot of the wrestlers, is really actually, there's, like, mini comics in between. And it was, I didn't expect a lot of these, but actually there's like, you'll laugh a couple of times. Like, it's actually well written in how absurd it is. It's well written to that point. This is not Shakespeare by any means, but it's fun and it gets the point across. So there's a lot here. Also, it's budget price. So it's only $39.99. There's like 70 wrestlers in the game. They are all unlockable by just playing the game, unlocking currency as you do matches and things like that. And then you can pay if you want to like speed that process up, but you don't have to. I have yet to spend the dime, and I've unlocked a bunch of wrestlers just on my own. So all the DLC for this game will also be free. So we'll have the same thing. So I think they did a lot of the criticisms of the core 2K series were down to bugs, glitches, and like pay to play stuff. And for the most part, there's still some frame rate stuff here and there, but for the most part, they seem to have kind of honed in on those and just made a really fun, simplified wrestling game that I think, like, I played online with a couple of different people over the weekend. It's fun. It's legit fun. So definitely, if you're interested or if you've been on the fence, it's worth checking out, especially for that budget price. So,
all right. That's Matt's review. Do you still trust him after last year?
Hey, man.
We'll sure find out. We will soon find out. I'm just kidding. I trust you, buddy. I trust you. All right, that'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We want to thank you guys for listening in, as always, especially during our quarantine arc. If you're just getting into the show, we put up episodes Wednesdays and Fridays on comicbook.com. You can listen there on the site in any one of our articles, or you can listen on your favorite podcast platform. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Google Playlist, iHeartRadio, or you can tell any of your smart home devices to fire up Comic Book Nation podcast, and it will start playing for you.
I do that on stream all the time. Be streaming, and I'm like, Alexa, play Comic Book Nation. And then a bunch of my viewers are like, what did you just do? Alexa's playing Comic Book Nation. It's great.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You get
every time I go to a new friend's house, I'm like, Alexa.
Viral marketing. Good job. Like to see it, Janelle Wheeler. Good job. Yeah. So there you go. Boom. Be like Janelle. All right. If you want to see our faces, we post episodes on Facebook where you can watch with us in live broadcast every Wednesday and Friday. Check those out. All right. And if you like the show, go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. When we eventually get back into our office after all this COVID madness, we got to clean out that merch closet so all our 5-star fans will be getting a t-shirt sent your way. We're going to keep Jim working and our mail department. They need to make up for a lackluster 2020. So we're going to be sending some shirts out. All right. Otherwise, that'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. As always, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Stay connected, stay tuned in, and we will see you next time. Peace.